we're getting you down.
The news depressing you.
Get a load of the Scapone Sound Off podcast
now.
You've got your skins and mods, punks and gods, tattoos, rockers and rude boys. You've got to make your choice, find your voice, raise your head and make some noise. From cradle to grave, it's been ska to turn you away. I've lived a life that I wanted to live, from cradle to grave. Tell your girl I've got the look. From cradle to grave, it's been scars to turn you away. I've lived a life that I wanted to live. From cradle to grave. Evo! You got Buster, you've got Tooth, take your scar back to its roots. But the two-tone sound really broke you ground, and I love it till my dying day. From cradle to grave, it's been scar to turn you away. I've lived a life that I wanted to live.
Hello, welcome to this week's Scapone Sound Off podcast with me, Paul Willow, and with me, this is episode 3, this is the Hitman and Her, technically Hitman and Him, because I am not
Where did you get that picture from? Where did you get that picture from, man?
You, hey, I can put, I could technically Photoshop your head into a woman's naked body, don't you worry about that.
I've actually got better hair.
That was Pete Waterman's hair. Do you remember the Hitman and Her? Are you too young for that?
No, I'm too young for that, no. That's all new to me.
Did you Google it?
No, not yet, but I think I might do. I think
I'll have a look. Spamous, man. Spamous,
you know,
man, I'll tell
you. I want his hairstyle now.
Hey, come round my house. I've got a spray tin. So, anyway, like I said, episode 3 of the podcast, the other two with, of course, were, first one was Kev. Kev's was a great one. Talked about punk and stuff and his interest in Scar and stuff like that and the way he's fitted in and stuff. Mark was a good lefty last week and we did some live acoustic strip, Bad Baby. So, how are you coping in these bizarre and weird times?
All right, I'm doing okay, you know, as well as you can do with all this COVID going around. Can I just say that this man here started a show 20 minutes late. I've been waiting 20 minutes late because he was taking a Dalek for a drive in his car.
Yes, I have to admit.
I mean, where did that Dalek come from?
Listen, don't tell the wife, but that's the bit on the side. We found a nice lay-by, flip and we exterminated. But anyway, I digress. I should have said you digress there. How dare you, right? But, Kev, like I say, Kev is new to the squad and he comes from a punk background, so it was interesting to talk about how he, you know, what you thought about the Scar thing. But I think this is going to be a little bit easy with you because.
Do you know what? I've just remembered. I've left Kev's head at the forum. You know those little things you do with the sticks? With the sticks on. I left it on the bass drum.
Did you?
I'm sure they'll find it. They'll use it. Oh, probably
I've
use
got,
it.
No, I've got two or three.
Use it as a Halloween mask or something.
I've got two or three here, mate. You're all right. I'll send you one in the post. Not.
I'll send
anyway,
back.
So what I was saying was that it's gonna be, I think it's gonna be easy for you tonight because I mean I've been looking at your musical choices because of course we're gonna play some of your tunes and like I say, a bit hard that really because like I say, if someone says to you, give me your top three tracks.
Exactly, I had 140 before I even started, you know. So
exactly, and I don't know, you're probably like me. If you've got a top, say for that week, you've got your top three tracks. The following week, it's gonna change again, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, definitely. Yeah, there's so many artists I could have put on there. There's so many artists I tried to squeeze. Four artists, two tracks actually. I won't say what they are just now, but
I think what you've got there are fantastic choices, especially the first one I'm going to play in a bit.
But
like I say, I think it's going to be easy because for what I know of you and stuff like that, you're obviously a complete reggae man, aren't you? You know, and a bit of traditional ska, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do listen to the music as well, but reggae is my number one. Always will be. You know, so it's been all my life. There's not many people who are, when I was at school, there was not many people of my age who liked that music.
Exactly.
In fact, it's only now through Facebook. I used to know them at school, but they never used to talk about music that much. In fact, music at school was pretty non-existent when I was there.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a couple of classes and...
Oh, you're frozen.
That was about it, you know, there was no sort of progression of music.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? Yeah. I mean,
it's running my family because of my dad. He was a drummer before me.
Yeah.
But he never actually taught us how to play the drums.
Oh. So how did you do that? How did you get into that then? How did you learn it?
I mean, it's through my cousin. He had a couple of CDs in his car.
Yeah.
One of them was UB40 and the other one was Ocean Colour Scene. And I basically got into UB40. I got into reggae that way.
Fantastic.
And I've never looked back, really. And since then, I've listened to all the older stuff, you know.
It started
basically with the popular stuff over here, like Bob Marley, UB40, people like that.
Well, that's what a lot of people do. You know,
exactly.
When we were kids and Two Tone came out, and we loved it and stuff like that, and we still do. But through Two Tone, you know, we found out stuff like gangsters related to Prince Buster's Al Capone.
Yeah, yeah.
One Step Beyond.
It was a massive influence, Prince Buster, definitely.
You go backwards and you find out the roots of it all, basically.
I mean, the gangsters track, it had the original, was it Prince Buster?
Yeah,
the original start of that, with a tight screeching at the start. And that was incorporated into the specials
track. That's
right,
it was indeed. Yeah, exactly.
Which I think was about, was it about the manager or something like that?
Yeah, about Bunny Rose. Yeah, the manager.
Yeah.
And they borrowed £700 from an Irish gangster in Coventry to print the first ever print of gangsters.
Oh, all right, yeah.
It was all interwoven, you know. And Bernie Bernie was a bit fly, you know. I mean, Bernie. The thing about Bernie Rose was, although he's sort of gangster in the song, but you know, he was a very astute businessman and worked with the Clash and all the punk bands, and he was very good at what he did, and stuff like that. So probably got a bit of a bad rep, really. But you know, but anyway, I digress.
Yeah, so, I mean, Two Tones are kind of the badass music of these of the ska. Oh, it certainly projects that image sometimes, but you know.
they're
lovely guys, you know. So
yeah.
You know.
Oh I know. But the thing, you know, it's like. It's a funny thing because I mean obviously and I think a lot of people do this as well. Is it all reggae more than probably a lot of music is a most definite mood music, isn't it? It's definitely mood music. You know what I mean?
Oh, without easy.
People want to if people are in a party or they're having a do at the house, you often hear reggae in the background, turned down, jumping away. You know,
I mean when I first started going to gigs, the first reggae gig I ever went to was, I think it was Dennis Al Capone with Dave Barker.
All right, yeah.
And we're talking years and years ago. It was at the Sage in Gateshead. And the best bit that I remember was actually going in and I could hear the bass pumping through the speakers. You know, before they start actually playing, you know, the DJ at the start.
For me, that was one of the big things.
Yeah, you can feel a bass.
Yeah, I always remember going to I don't know where it was, to be honest with you. It was many years ago now. Obviously, I'm a bit older than you.
Just slightly.
Cheeky bastard. And Yeah, so, you know, it was like, I remember walking in and this bass was driving. And do you know what? I could feel it beating in my chest.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
You're right in the center of your chest.
These are the places you've got to go to listen to it, really. Yeah. I mean, you can try listening through your best headphones or your best speakers. It doesn't have the same effect as those massive speakers they have at places in venues, you know. You can literally feel the bass.
Yeah,
you know,
feel the bass,
You play a track like Natural Mystic Bob Marley off the Exodus album. When that comes in, that's fantastic. That, like, you know, I nearly picked that. You know, I nearly picked the Bob Marley tune. You know, but
I'm surprised I didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
So so out of all the reggae stuff, shall we say, is he one of your top artists?
Yeah, he is.
Like, he's primarily a big influence.
When I was younger, I used to listen to him quite a lot, so I don't listen to him. Oh, I still listen to him now, obviously, but not as much because I've heard a lot of his music before. So I'm always interested in listening to new stuff as well.
Yeah, that's great.
But without a doubt, in fact, I was, like you say, I had that track on literally just before I came on to do this interview, like, for Natural Mystic, you know, I was just jibing away to that. So, yeah, man. And Carlton Barrett's definitely one of me, an influence.
Yeah.
Certainly, his style of playing is fantastic. A lot of hi-hat work and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Fantastic one drop, you know.
I was just going to say, from a drummer's point of view, if you, like yourself, a reggae drummer's point of view, listening to them must make your hair on the back of your neck stand up sometimes, you know.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, the thing about reggae and ska, even, is that it's a soul thing, isn't it? It's in the soul. It's about, you know what I mean? It's part of your DNA almost, isn't it? Yeah. If you're into it, that's what it is, you know?
Yeah. When I listen to any sort of music, I can listen to any sort of music, but as soon as reggae comes on, that's when I know I like reggae, because that's the music that sticks, you know?
Yeah.
That's the music I can feel like, yeah.
Great stuff. So, obviously, ska and reggae related and stuff like that. So prior to joining the band and stuff like that, had you listened to a lot of ska? I know you like traditional stuff.
Yeah.
You like ska lights and things like that, don't you?
Yeah. What first got me into that was a beginner's guide to reggae, Mark Lamar. That was out.
Oh, Mark Lamar, yeah, he's a massive reggae fan.
I've actually
DJed with Mark Lamar.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Some tracks I've never heard.
Yeah, that's kind of where I got into the older stuff when he started playing it on Radio 2.
Yeah.
And I heard people like the Paragons, the Scatterlights, you know.
Yeah.
Don Drummond doing his thing on the trombone and all that sort of thing, you know. I learned a lot about the musicians as well. You know, so that's kind of where that came from. And then, of course, I've just basically built up your own repertoire. You listen to everything, really. So it goes from there. In terms of the Scatterlights, again, another big musical influence. Lloyd Nibbs, the drummer, you know. If I play ska music, that's how I like to play ska music.
If you want to check out a modern ska track, there's a tribute to Lloyd Nibb by Bombskate. It's actually called Lloyd Nibb. You have to listen to that. It'd be great.
All right, yeah. I haven't heard it, so I'll have a listen to it.
Yeah, have a listen to it. By Bombskate. Yeah, Scottish ska band, yeah.
And, of course, he had a great drum and bass section, Lloyd Nibbs and Lloyd Brevis.
Yeah.
Well, with a big stand-up bass, you know, big double bass. Cool. Yeah. So.
There's no technical problem. Just
always technical problems.
No, on the first one, Kev's Wi-Fi kept dropping out, so I'll be watching the screen. Right. Freeze. It's like. They come back in again. Do you know what I mean? So it's editing. It wasn't as bad last
normal,
week.
That's his normal face, isn't it?
I know you two have got a love-hate relationship. You love him, he hates you.
You've got your bass player, you know.
There's a rhythm section, yeah.
He's one of he's a great bass player, you know.
You know
pretty much straight away. I never have any problem when he's playing. You know what
no,
I mean?
No,
pretty much gel together, sort of thing, which is pretty good because I mean he came from more of a punk background. Aye.
Well, this is what he was saying in his first episode. You know, he likes punks can be straightforward, pretty much straightforward. But he says what he loves about the ska is the way it all moves around.
Yeah.
And the nuances it has as well. And, you know, again, a bit of soul, you know.
From a bass point of view, I mean, ska music is sort of more sort of straight, sort of boom, 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 boom.
Yeah,
boom,
yeah.
Whereas reggae is slowed down and there's more notes and it's more choppy.
Yeah.
So it takes to a melody.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, I think with reggae specifically, the bass lines sometimes win the fucking day every time.
The bass lines are absolutely
stunning. And it's, you know, listen to the things like original Long Shot Get the Bucket as well.
Dun, 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 dun.
The bass that wins it for me, you know.
So, and some of the tracks I've covered tonight, I've tried to go from ska through to reggae.
Yeah.
That sort of era, and I've covered the my favorite era, which is the Rocksteady era as well.
Oh, I got a bit of better Rocksteady.
So I've tried to do that in four tracks as well as trying to get in all the people that have influenced us. Exactly, yeah. I think I managed to do it just about.
So prior to the Scapones then, right? What have you been doing with yourself musically?
Musically, well, when I first started, when I was young, I was looking for a, you know, looking for a band, you know, and I didn't know where to start, you know. I mean, where do you start? I mean, I didn't know many people listen to reggae music.
Certainly not,
or ska music.
Especially in this area.
Yeah, exactly. Like you say, I was drumming when I was little. My dad never actually taught us. I taught myself by listening to the artists. I mean, my dad was at home and he chose like some bongos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But never actually like behind the kit. You know, I'd go watch him play, but it wasn't until later on when my mother and father separated that I think I kind of got in and I wanted to start playing myself.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the reason why I started playing. I don't know. You know?
Yeah, some sort of form of escapism or something. Yeah, maybe.
Yep. And it basically escalated from there. It's what I wanted to do, you know. But music's quite difficult to get into to start off with, you know. So
Yeah, it is, especially if you're in a specialist area.
Yeah.
Just trying to find, like you say, it's also about finding like-minded people, isn't it?
That's it. Yeah, exactly. And for a long time, I didn't find that. And then I went to Bishop Auckland College and I met a chap who actually you've met and put me in contact with you guys.
Eisen Thompson.
Yeah, man. And he basically said, because I was doing IT at the time of college, and he said, music was like integrated into it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, can anybody play an instrument? And I said, yeah, I can play the drums. And until this time, I didn't even have a drum kit, you know what I mean? Other than this little Yamaha DD55, I think it is, you call it. And it's
almost
like
one of them, because you're talking in riddles to me, son.
What it is, it's just like a drum machine, but it's like it's in a box sort of thing. It's not like a drum kit. Yeah. So I took that in and I started playing. He said, yeah, you can really play like. So I did a few recordings with him, a few tracks with him, a few reggae tracks, a bit of dub stuff, and a few tracks that he recorded with other people that was like R&B and stuff like that, rhythm and blues, you know, different sort of things. So that's kind of how we started recording anyway. So after that, I decided, well, I want to try to form my own band. So I met a few people, you know, but they weren't really too bothered about it. You know, that's another half the battle is finding people who actually want to go out and play.
Yeah.
So I found another band, and before I found you guys, I found another band, and they were doing a competition. But a lot of them didn't turn up for it. They were going to play at the O2 at Newcastle.
Okay, right, cool.
That's where it was. I think it was called Soundwaves, the competition, something like that.
All right.
And this was a couple of years ago. And then I thought, I kind of give up on that idea when a lot of people just didn't turn up. You know what I mean? They got there to the finals.
Yeah, yeah.
And then half of them didn't turn up. So
such a shame.
Yeah, you know.
Because you don't know where it could have gone. You know.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
And then so, after that, I was put in contact with you guys from Eisen. Yeah.
And I've discussed it with Mark and another members of the band and stuff like that. And we've had a few drummers, obviously, over the years and stuff. But I think, you know, in you, and I'm not blowing smoke at your ass because I don't do that to anybody.
Oh, yeah.
But I think we found the right one because, you know, the right man because, you know, you understand exactly what we want. And, you know, I mean...
Well, I mean, if you tell people like the full story, it feels like it's gelling together. You know what I mean? When you think about it, you guys, I went to see the Specials for the first time.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago at Scarborough, right? For,
I remember it well.
This is for the two people who are listening to this show.
Oh, you get more than two, you know.
All right,
three.
Yeah, so I went to see the Specials at Scarborough Spa couple of years ago.
Hell of a gig.
Was it 2000?
No, it was just 2019, last year. May last year.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, it feels like a long time because of all the COVID crap.
It's fucking years made it worse.
Anyway, I went to see them. And then the band who were supporting them actually turned out to be you guys.
Hey, it was.
Which I didn't know at the time because when...
Did you miss it?
Just slightly. Just a little bit.
Sacrilege!
I'm sorry. I'm going. I have to cover my face when he says that, when they tell us
that.
Yeah,
and so you bloody should. Yeah. What was you doing? Was you in the pub?
I think I was, I was.
I bet you was.
Yeah, I was, I was just, testing the brews, as you do. Important job.
For me, Scarborough was the best gig. The one thing I wanted to do over the 2 days when we played with them and stuff is I wanted to soak it up. Middlesbrough, we'd already had a gig the day before. Yeah. We played in the afternoon.
Yeah, yeah.
Shut that down, flown straight across to Middlesbrough. So it was rush. But Scarborough, I arrived in Scarborough about 10 o'clock in the morning, checked into my guest house, and then I soaked up the whole day. Do you know what I mean? I met some friends and we all went down. I had family coming over from York and,
We were there pretty early. What time did we get there? I think it was in the morning time. It was in the morning time. We had we got a little bit stoned, before we.
I'm sure you did.
I shouldn't really be saying this. Anybody could be listening. My mother could be listening to this. My brother,
Larkman. Mrs. Larkman, calling Mrs. Larkman. In fact, don't worry, I'll send her it in an email. Hey, lucky, I'm sure you want this as a memento. Did you enjoy the Specials though?
I did enjoy the Specials, yes.
They were great, they were on form that night.
Unfortunately, my mate was dancing right in front of us, right up at the top of the balcony, and there was no fucking guardrails on, so I haven't been watching. So he was there, sort of half spoiling the forest, dancing in front. I couldn't see the concert, but never mind.
Well, speaking of the Specials, obviously, that was a great event and stuff like that, but just go off a tangent a bit. It's already been cancelled this year, but next year we're on tour with The Beat for their 40th anniversary. And again, the venue's got fantastic. And we're going to be playing the last date of the tour there in Bristol as well. On the boat, the Thekla. So interesting. Cracking venue.
All right, okay.
Yeah, it's a pretty venue. And The Beat, again, I don't know if you listen to much Beat, but Everett Morton's a fantastic drummer. His rhythms would suit you because it's all, it's more reggae than ska, to be honest.
Yeah, it is.
But are you looking forward to
the bathroom, things like that, mirror in the bathroom, tracks like that,
just listen to the rhythms that you come up with. Are you looking forward to that?
I am. I'm looking forward to a lot. There's a lot of stuff that I haven't done.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't actually even been abroad, basically, So I know you're going over to America next year.
Oh, America we are.
So looking forward to that,
COVID.
Apprehensive because there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that I haven't done, Like, I don't just mean musically, I mean just like traveling, on a plane and stuff like that.
Stick with us, son. We'll hold your hand. No, don't stick with us.
Before I get on the plane, I won't tell you I'm scared of heights.
Oh, listen. Hey, I'm shit scared of heights, right? Seriously, right? And my wife wanted to go abroad, and I'd never flown, right? Until only six, seven years ago. I didn't want to fly, wasn't interested, but she wanted to, and I thought, well, I'm holding them back. They want to go abroad to Italy and things like that.
Yeah.
And I remember getting on the plane, and I remember having a bit of a panic attack as the engines went,
All right, yeah.
And I thought, is it taking off? We're bolting down this bloody runway. It took off and I thought I was going to die. But do you know what? I mean, I still don't like it. But when you're in it, you don't notice the height. I know it sounds silly. You can look out the windows. And even though if you're above a cloud or whatever, I tend not to look out the clouds, to be honest. I look out when we start to come into land again. And I start looking out the window then. But you don't notice it. It just doesn't have the same effect. And I really am petrified, so don't worry about it, mate, honestly. The thing is, pull your blind down, put your earphones on, and don't speak for three hours.
And bribe the pilot not to take off,
Don't go screaming up the doors. Not nowadays. You'll get shot.
Exactly,
Get in, take him down.
Yeah. So anyway, getting back to how I managed to get into the band.
Yeah.
I think you saw it did go off track there for about 5 minutes. So obviously I didn't know who the band were, and when I was put in contact with you guys, I just applied for it simply because I wanted to be in a reggae band, a ska band, you know.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, we don't make
crap for all I know. I wasn't really too bothered, you know what I mean? I just wanted to try and get out there. So
what
I found is a band that's fucking complete and utter opposite. You know, you're really good and you're playing all the fucking time.
If anything, you're
miles the opposite side. You know what I mean?
The thing is, though, right? If you are technically a great drummer, and why should you not be seen and not heard? You know,
right, yeah.
I mean, I was watching. Funny enough, I was watching a stream we did of Live in Sunderland, which is actually your first gig, your very first gig, and you're fucking brilliant, absolutely fucking brilliant.
Cheers,
and,
man.
I
take it on the chin because. It comes from the heart, really.
Of course it does.
As far as technical, I think you have to be technical to play the music, you know. When you play reggae music, it sounds easy to play, you know what I mean? But it's not.
I mean, although I don't play an instrument as such, I watch everybody. I watch guitarists, if Matt's playing or watch Steven. And I do like drums. If I could choose an instrument, it probably would be a drum. But I do watch and I do marvel because it is completely a gift. If you're either born to play these things or not.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I know you can get. Oh, you're frozen again. I know you can learn, but I think you've got to have a natural ability to carry that through.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. So, what we're going to do now, we're going to play one of your first choices. And then when it's finished. You can tell us why. Right, okay, so ladies and gentlemen, on the Scapone Sound Off podcast, episode 3, the Hitman and him. This is Never Grow Old, Toots and the Maytals featuring Uroy, Terry Hall, and I think there's another one, isn't there?
The Scatterlights.
What a lineup! Right, take it away.
We're ready. I never go home.
Scatlights, and there you go. That was Never Grow Old, Toots and the Maytals, the Scatlights, Uri and Terry Hall. I mean, for me, when I first heard that, I thought, fucking hell. I mean, I know the tune, but yeah. To have those different people from as many different... It's like...
It's a hell of a lineup, isn't it? Yeah.
It's the All-Stars, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And sometimes when you get a lot... Sometimes when that happens, you're a little bit disappointed with how it sounds overall when you get a load of stars.
I understand together. That, yeah.
But this song, nah, it sounds as good as it should be, you know. So,
what made you choose that though?
Well, I mean, there's a few reasons. Obviously, Toots has obviously just passed away very recently.
Unfortunately, yes, it's turned into a bit of a circus. His death, hasn't it? He's not even buried yet.
Yes, no, he's not. I think he's getting buried. Well, I know he's getting buried quite soon. I think it's next to Dennis Brown.
Right. Oh, cool.
Jamaica's.
I think it's a family problem they have, isn't it? I think there's a family. I think his wife wanted him buried somewhere, and the family didn't.
Well, I heard it.
Which
I
is often it happens a lot in Jamaica, to be fair.
Yeah, I heard some documents got lost and stuff like that.
No, there's a bit more than that.
Yeah, well,
family fighting, son. Family fight.
Yeah, man. He's getting buried in Jamaica, National Heroes Park, I think it's called.
That's right. Aye.
Yeah. So that's the main reason why I chose the song.
Like a tribute, like it's almost a tribute to him, sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, anyway.
I mean, the lineup there, like I said, Toots and Maytals, Uri, the Scatlights, the Terry Hall. You know, it's all the generations, isn't it?
Well, in terms of Uri, I mean, Uri's basically the daddy of rap music.
Exactly, he is indeed, and he's still going strong, isn't he? I think.
Yeah, because I mean, back in the day, they'd take the vocals out of a reggae track, and he'd
toast over the top,
or as you would call it now, rap.
Yeah.
And he was the first one to do it.
Well, they were called in them days. It was them days. It was toasting, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Did the same with the Specials as well.
Yeah.
You got each other smashed as the same sort of thing for Madness and Ranking Roger with a B.
Astro for You'll Be 40. Yeah.
Yeah, it was exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
A lot of rap artists as well owe quite a lot to.
I think rap, good rap, good hip hop, not there's cause some of it is shit.
Yeah.
But good rap, good hip hop. Does take a lot from reggae.
When you listen to people like Eminem, I mean, when you listen to the backing music, you could get it. Does it's basically?
I think you're a little bit too young. But when I was a bit younger, and I just have to two-tone a pass, so I can't remember what year it was. Maybe 83, maybe 82, or something like. The Rebel MC came out,
right?
And the Rebel MC was like almost jungly rap sort of thing, but it was speeded
jungle,
up.
Yeah,
but the bass lines
music as well. Yeah,
yeah, all the bass lines were like Long Shot, Liquidator.
Yeah,
you know they're all using them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and I think he still does. But obviously, there's a morbid influence when you realise.
Yeah, of course, out of that came dub music as well.
Yeah.
And a lot of music's quite a debt to dub music as well, drum and bass stuff like that. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah. It's all interesting when you look back at where it all came from. Yeah, but of course, reggae and ska owe their debt to blues music. Because blues music came over to Jamaica.
That's right, indeed. Yeah, I mean, I even cite Elvis Presley. Right, take Elvis Presley. We're on about this with Mark last week. If he hadn't mixed white folk rock and black gospel, you probably wouldn't have got reggae.
Yeah.
Because everything stems from that era, mainly him. You know,
very much. Yeah.
I think personally, that's how far back you can go. You know.
Yeah.
It sounds ridiculous to some people, but you know, how can Elvis Presley have anything to do with, I don't know, bad manners? Do you know what I mean?
You would think that, wouldn't you? If I said like Eminem's music was basically stemmed from Uri, people like that,
Well, it's the influences, isn't it? It's the influences. And watching these old sound systems in Jamaica in the '60s was brilliant, I mean, I remember watching a program called Reggae Britannia with Dennis Bevel, and they were.
Oh, I've seen that. If you're a reggae fan, you would have seen that.
Well, when you play down at Sanford, down at Sanford next for the specialised event, I'll introduce you to Dennis Bevel. He's met and been to some people. He's a fucking genius. He really, and a lovely man. A lovely man on top as well. What do you do for work? What's your job?
I make car parts. It's tedious,
it's a job,
mind numbing and
So that's why you play reggae.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got to have an escape. Yeah, that's why I listen to Bob Marley. Yeah, exactly.
There's your escape. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So just does the car parts you've made then? Do you feed like people like Nissan or?
Yeah, Nissan, Jaguar Land Rover, Ford.
So if we go a little bit political, are you worried about Brexit affecting your job? Because obviously Nissan, we're going to have to pay heavy duty levies on their exporting and stuff. And
it's a funny one because the company I work for has been through a lot of whenever there's been depressions and stuff like that, you know, they've always got through it. And same with this COVID as well. You know what I mean?
Because you haven't stopped working, have you?
I haven't stopped working. No, I did briefly for 8 weeks, but
first
I was
lockdown.
One of the. I was one of the first ones they brought back. So
another question I'll ask about while we're on the same subject is that, and this includes me as well. I've had a couple of meltdowns, I think, over the last few weeks. But
I've drunk quite a lot, if I'm honest. Like,
well, that's probably a good thing.
More
to
than
do.
I should have. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's your way of dealing with it. So I mean, what do you think about mental health? What do you think? I mean, the thing about music is when you've got situations like this where there's a crisis, you always end up getting good music coming out of it. You know, there's always there's always a reaction to an action, isn't the sort of thing?
Yeah. You know. Well, I mean, it gives you a good cause to write a song. You know, when you look at the way the government handle it, it's such a laughable.
Oh, don't even get me started, mate.
I can't say anything about Boris Johnson without swearing. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not. I don't want to swear on the show. You know,
swear.
What fucking bastard that he is. You know, but. You know.
Mrs. Larkman, calling Mrs. Larkman.
Yeah.
If his mum's listening, he didn't say that.
Exactly, yeah.
I won't bleep it out, though.
No, you can do a bit of editing, and I don't mind that, you know. You can
well, as you know, we do the Tory track, you know, and that's one of the... It's a powerful track to play live.
Yeah,
And I think that pretty much sums it up, doesn't it?
Yeah, oh, definitely, yeah. You know. We want the government out, you know.
There's the word, my son. There's the words. Also... Actually, let's get back in as we bounce from different subject to different subject. You also write your own music.
I do write my own music, yeah.
I've heard some of it. Skinundrum and other things like that, which I think are cracking tracks.
Like your ska music? Then listen to the Scarpones Sound Off podcast. Pick it up.
Approach to writing tunes. What do you do? How do you? What's your process? Is it start with a drum beat?
It can be either. I kind of write it down as notes, you know what I mean? I play them as notes on the keyboard, and I'm not like, I couldn't even tell you what key they're in or anything like that. I don't do that. I play it by what I hear. I play by ear.
Well, there's a lot of musicians do that. I mean, you look at people like Roddy Radiation, you know, Roddy out of the Specials. Doesn't write a note of music, you know, and there's a lot of musicians like that.
Yeah, I think it's just natural. It comes natural.
Well, that's the joy of it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's taken us quite a while to get it to be able to write a song that I've been happy with.
Really?
That's
one of the first
ones I've been happy with. You know, as in like it has to have the proper feel. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
You were saying earlier about reggae music and ska having the feel. That's what it's taken us a long time to get to. I can do it straight away as a drummer, but as a songwriter, when you've got to write in the brass parts. The bass parts, the keyboard offbeats and the guitars and everything like that, you know.
Well, I think that's where we're very lucky in the Scarpones because we've got a few guys who are good at doing that job, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're writers
in the band, yeah.
Yeah, we have. We've got, I mean, you know, I do lyrics and you've got Mark who writes music as well. And Steve's a fantastic musical director and knows it. I am amazed at Steve coming sometimes because... Having that skill to know what a chord is by just listening to one note or whatever, do you know what I mean? It's a skill.
I couldn't do that.
No, same here. No, I just want to plug a mic in and get on with it. I've got the easy job.
And you know, sometimes, you know, I think we write some of the best stuff I've heard is when we just jamming sometimes.
We've got recordings and stuff because we want to use these at a later date. You know.
Yeah, when it just comes out of nowhere, just like that.
Well, Kev's been in lockdown, Kev's been having little blasts of bass lines and stuff. So what he does is he videos and sends it, you know, and we can rip the audio and keep that idea for another day, you know.
Exactly, we've got an album's worth just out of rehearsing. Yeah.
God, you tell me about it. You've got all sorts of stuff. Yeah. We've started recording the second album. You've done 7 tracks, I think you've done, haven't you?
Yeah.
Is it about right?
Yeah, sounds about right.
You and Kev have both done 7. Well, we announced the other day that we're going to release Eyes of a Child as a taste of the new album. And you've done that. You and Kev have recorded that already. What we're going to do is make most of the lockdown and do it from home. So people like the brass guys can record at home.
Yeah.
I can record at home for vocals, and Steve can either plug in here if he wants to, or do it from his place. You know,
a little bit tricky when you're a drummer, unless I want to get the police round. I could maybe do a session and then get arrested.
Well,
the
thing is, you've already recorded that in the studio, so it doesn't matter.
We've already got that,
so we've already got the rhythm, which is brilliant.
Yeah,
makes it easy for us to stick it down and stuff like that. So we're going to be releasing that as soon as we can, as a taster. But I think the albums. You know, I look at Cradle to Grave, and I don't know if you've listened to it yourself, but you probably have. You have to have had to read to know the songs. But, you know, it's one of them things.
I just guess.
I know. I knew you were that good. But, you know, and I've often said, you know, we'd like to re-record it because we know what we more now. You know, we know what we'd want to do with it more. But, there is a point where you have to walk away from an album. Even you can keep recording and tweaking.
Oh, you've
got to walk away and put it to bed, and that's it.
Yeah.
But with this one, the Northern Gods one, is definitely a step forward. And there's a lot of, you know, like in Mark's writing, there's a lot of influence of the Doors. I'm still shouting about stuff like I normally do. You know, and there's a lot of good, it's changing. And because it's a definite move on from the Cradle to Grave album, but with the lineup, because we've got the lineup that we want, which for me is the best lineup we've ever had, completely, is perfect. And you've gelled in and fit into the band really well, along with Kev and stuff like that. You know, we've got a good atmosphere and stuff like that. I mean, one of the things I remember talking to you about when we first spoke was how high pressure it can be, and it is high pressure.
It is, A lot of people, when I tell people I'm in a band, they tend to think, oh, it's quote, play music, you know, get pissed, have a good time and all that sort of thing. Nah. And so some of it is. I mean, yeah, some you have a good time when you're playing, but it is a lot of pressure, you know.
Yeah,
and
of course it is.
It's certainly not all alcohol we have to drink. Most of the time, it's bloody water, you know. It's certain things, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is as well, you know, it's like if you're in a well-known band as well, which, you know, and you've got a reputation, like where we... I think a lot of bands sometimes, right, shouldn't really record, I think, because they're a live experience. And you know, every band, I think, the Specials are great on record, but fantastic live. Yeah. And a lot of bands are like that. I think because music, as I said, I've said it in the last couple of weeks, is a live experience. That's what it is all about. To go, like you just said, standing there with a sound system banging away in your chest. You want to hear it, you want to feel it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And, excuse me. And, you know, and I think, what we've got now with this lineup, and that's where it's heading. It's all gelling and it's all working really well. Is there anything that you've heard from the new album that you stands out, that you prefer to play or you like? Or
well, I mean, apart from obviously recording it, the only things I've heard is what's being put on Facebook. I like the keys that Steve did on You Can't Let Go.
Oh yeah, that's fantastic.
That sounds really nice.
It's really good. That's one of my. We did that with Straight Back last week, acoustic, just me and Mike, and it's one of my favourite songs for a long time. Yeah, I love it. It's really good.
Eyes of a Child. I like Kev's bass line that we put on just a few days ago, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And like you say, when he plays his bass, I can. Coming really nicely and it fits nicely around the drums.
Well, it's great that you've got that relationship with him, isn't it? You know, because it makes your life easy and his life easy.
Oh, definitely,
you know?
Yeah.
Because you both learn how to think the same, don't you? Do you know what I mean? And you read each other well, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we've got three styles in this band. We play the two-tone stuff, we play traditional ska and reggae as well, you know. So.
Yeah, we do. We're good with the complete. I mean, we did Ghost in Meme for the first time for you. And
that's probably my favourite song.
Yeah, I knew it would be.
That's
one of mine.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, you hit the nail on the head straight away. You know, there was no problem with that at all. Yeah, I knew you would because of the way it was set up, you know, and how it's constructed. Right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We'll have a little break while we listen to another one. So we'll let's play this one. And we're going to play Penny for Your Song, Derry Carriot.
Yes.
Derry Carriot. Good choice.
I like this version.
Right. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. This is Penny for Your Song, Derry Carriot.
Beautiful.
Choice number two from Mr. Michael Lachman, drummer with the Scapones.
Yeah, man.
In the room, baby. We're back in the room. So that was Penny for Your Song, Derek Harriott. I can't even speak.
Derek Harriott.
Go on then. Tell me why.
Well, keeping the tradition that I wanted to go from ska, a little bit of history, to ska into rock steady, this one.
Yep.
Although it's almost bordering on reggae, this one. It's a 1970 song, I think. I don't think it's the original. I think it's a version of it. I think the original was by the Federals.
Okay.
Although it does sound very similar, as in the backing track's very similar.
Right.
There's no particular reason other than I just love it. I just love the chords. I love the melody.
We're just a hell of a sound. We were just talking about Soul and Heart, weren't we? And I think that's one of those tracks, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, that is just a beautiful song. The bass line and the guitar that matches the bass line, just griffle.
Do you like a lot of his stuff? Do you like a lot of Derek Harriott's stuff?
Yeah, well, I like a lot of stuff from the Rocksteady era.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of the skinhead culture stuff are into Derek Harriott, you know, the original.
Yeah.
Into the traditional stuff. What do you do then for music? Do you download it? Do you buy vinyl? Do you buy CDs? What do you do?
I download it sometimes, but I still buy CDs. I do have reggae records.
Yeah.
Proper records. Yeah, I did have a record player until it broke. it's a little bit difficult listening to them now. the whole lot really, you know.
Yeah.
I probably stream quite a lot as well, you know.
Right. Yeah. You see, because you're a kid of the new generation, aren't you?
I think the problem with that is it makes it too easy to just skip past songs. Yeah, well, no, not really. No, I was around when records were still pretty big, and then went out and then came back in again.
Yeah,
I'm probably the cassette to CD era, sort of.
Well, funny enough, the Scapones have just released their cassette.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I'll have to buy one of them. And all no.
Well, I'll give you one, didn't
I? No, I made a cassette player.
Oh. You get cheap now.
You give me all these formats I haven't got.
you get cheap now. I can tell you that.
What's it going to be next, Dot? You know?
Hey, you know. Never say never.
You're going to bring out a VHS.
USB. We'll go for USB next. A USB release. Because yeah. Because singles are coming back as well.
Yeah.
Which are cassette singles.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think what it is, it's like when you buy a vinyl album. If you spend £15 on a CD, a brand new CD, okay, you've got a brand new CD without work. Yeah. Right?
Yeah,
Sounds lovely.
Digital
and all this shit, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I think if you buy an album for £25, a big 12-inch fucking thing with great artwork. You know, I like to take the record. I like to feel the vinyl. I like to look at it. I like to look at that run-out grooves. I think it's a man thing, but
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Oh, you can't beat an actual physical record, you know?
You can't.
Definitely not, no. I mean, it depends on the way you look at it. I mean, some people like the scratches.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
I mean, the scratches, it gives it a nice warm feel as well. I mean...
Well, I think if you play it through a decent system...
Yeah, exactly. That's
it's the richest sound, you know.
Yeah.
They've done this with the Record Store Day releases by the Specials. The This R Tour Drone album's been re-released, the first Specials album released, and I think they're releasing more Specials in November this month at half master speed, which is even richer. It's slower.
This one has just got to number one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gangsters just got to number one. Yeah.
Gangsters.
Well done. They knocked Anya Grande off the top spot.
Oh, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, wasn't a very good position for it, was it, at the end?
Oh, really? I bought the Specials Record Store Day release. It's a 10-inch vinyl on two-tone. It's fantastic. It's got, and you'll love it because it's got Gangsters in dub.
Yeah, yeah.
Why in dub? And for me, my favourite track is just Too Much Too Young in dub. And
right, that's interesting.
I tell you what, I'm going to play that right now, actually, because it's right here on straight. Yeah. So is when this was originally on the first album, and it went from the main song and went into a little dub bit, and I thought, oh, I quite like that. So what I used to do was
is like a slower version
with more piano. Yeah, and then
yeah, I think I have heard it. Yeah,
well, what I used to do was I used to chop it in half, and the little dubby bit I used to give as a ringtone. But now we've got the full length version. It's been re-released.
Right. Yeah.
And that's part of the and that's part of the record. I mean, the best thing is, it went to number one in the official charts, and it's vinyl. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? For me, that's extra special. Yeah. And so that gives them technically three number ones now, along with, because Gangsta reached number six originally.
Yeah.
You know, when it first came out. So that's what with the original, with Too Much Done the Live version and Ghost Town and Gangsta, that's three number ones and a number one album.
Yeah. I mean, they're having a good reprise, aren't they, really?
I'll tell you right, what I'll do is I'm going to sneak that in now. Too Much Too Young, this special. This is the dub version that came out last week. Get in.
Yeah.
And there we go, ladies and gentlemen. There was the Specials. Yes, our friends, the Specials, with the wonderful version, which is I love it. I love that. You need to check it out. You need to buy one, is what you need to do.
Yeah.
It'll stay in the morning even longer then. I am joined by Michael Larkman, the drummer from The Scorpions.
Hello.
The hitman himself.
I'm not actually a hitman. You can't call us up when I won't pop somebody off, you know.
Listen, the thing is, I can put a Pete Watman wig on you. You need to be careful, son.
This is the danger of the internet, you see.
Especially me. I'm a bugger for it. Okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to go into another one of your choices. This is one of my favourites by quite a few people, actually. I mean, it's been covered to death. And they've all been pretty good. But is this the original, isn't it?
This is the original.
Yes, this is
in my opinion, the best.
This is Johnny Too Bad by The Slickers. So, right, we'll go straight into that and we'll be back with you with Michael Larkman in a minute.
On the road with a pistol in your waist, Johnny, you're too bad. Walking down the road with a ratchet in your waist, One of these days, when the hero boy say come, we gonna run. Oh, oh. One of these days, when the hero boy say come, we gonna run.
Johnny Too Bad. I mean, everybody knows Johnny Too Bad, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, I think UB40 did a great version of that, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah. And
was that on the Labour Love album? I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was just before Red Red Wine.
Yeah.
Another song. I've now gone from the rocksteady era to the reggae era.
You're moving up.
Yeah, moving up. And again, it's another song I've picked simply because I just love the feel of it. I love the guitars. I love the guitar, the chugging on the guitars. The speed of the song.
Well, the one good thing about listening to original tunes is the beat, isn't it? And the feel.
Yeah.
Which that's what,
it's hard to replicate as a song that was recorded back then.
Yeah,
the
actual
sound of it, you know.
Yeah.
There's very few albums that can actually match that sort of how it felt on the record back then, you know.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Where they record them these days, yeah.
Yeah, that's the truth. That's an absolute truth. Yeah.
So they were all recorded through like crappy stuff as well, you know. But should I say the best of what they had back in those days, you know.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it as well.
That is what adds to it.
Well, the thing is as well is that even now, people actually are trying to replicate that by buying old stuff and renovating them and playing through it, you know.
Sometimes I
was reading something the other day, I can't remember what it was, something to do with music, maybe to do with the 70s, like Thin Lizzy or something like that. But yeah. They were saying the same thing, that, you know, they got a certain way of style, a certain sound out of a certain amplifier or something like that. And it was just by messing around with, you know, tweaking the knobs and stuff like that. Yeah. But it was just distinctive. It couldn't be replicated anywhere else, you know, on any other amp or, you know.
Yeah.
So it had to be that specific amp, you know.
Yeah.
So if somebody came up to you, I said, Michael, I want to be a drummer.
Well, first of all, I'd say, what the hell's wrong with your voice?
You might only be six.
I'm sorry.
but what advice would you give him?
You know, sometimes I do actually get that, weirdly enough.
That's not weird enough. It's a good question, I think.
Yeah. I would say the first thing you want to do is get yourself probably an electric kit to start off with, or if you're a bit posher, get a proper drum kit if your parents will allow it. That's probably the best way to start. And listen to some tracks. And most importantly is learn how to play it to a click track.
Mm. Do you like playing to a click track?
I do like playing a click track. You know,
fucking hell.
It's vitally important.
You know, I suppose it is for a drummer, yeah.
But, I mean, when you play stuff like reggae music, you know, you like to play it naturally. You like to give it a natural feel, you know what I mean?
Do you feel you have better results playing to a kick track or playing naturally?
I'd say probably playing naturally, but I think it's vitally important if you want to record. If you want to get somewhere music, you need to be able to play a click track, you know.
Ah, I fucking am. Turn it off!
I'm not saying I like them, but I think
yeah,
it's...
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. You know, when we're all about giving advice and stuff, you know, is there any... I mean, what about practice then? Let's go about practice. What practice do you do per week?
What practice do I do? Well, I'll practice on my electric kit, basically.
Yeah, and yeah. But how long? Do you do a lot during the week?
Well, as much as I can do, yeah. Probably I'd say about maybe up to an hour. It depends, obviously, whether it's having another job. Depends on how tired I am, you know what I mean? Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But I don't necessarily have to be on the drum kit to practice. I can just tap. I can tap along with a song.
Well, we saw that, didn't we? Because we did the we did Dorian's Going Great impromptu on Coast Train Radio. Yeah. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And you play the best pencils I've ever seen.
I've played on worse kits. Yeah, definitely.
Normally in the dining in rehearsal rooms.
Yeah, I think the problem is I'm tapped. That's the problem there, you know. you've got to be a bit tapped to play the drums. You know, you never stop. You're always fidgeting. You're always moving. Every time you hear a song, you know.
It's like an audible Tourette's sort of thing.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, yeah. Another thing you've got to do, which is vitally important as well. I would say is your memory. You've got to learn. You've got to remember stuff. You know. Yeah. You've got to know what's coming up. Absolutely. Sometimes when you're playing a track, you might only remember something that's coming up about maybe 7 seconds before it actually happens. You know what I mean? Especially when you're playing a band like this, because we do a lot of songs.
Yeah.
And it's a lot to remember. And it doesn't matter how many times you've heard a song. Mm. Sometimes you forget, but then when it's about 7 seconds before the bit comes in, something like that.
It's like football, isn't it? I think it's like they call it muscle memory.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know, you get used to playing a certain thing, and whether you forget or not, well, just before it's due in, you'll hear it.
Yeah, you definitely get a bigger hippocampus playing music.
Ooh,
look
at you, big words.
It's a big word for this time of night.
This time of night, bloody hell, you're pulling out the hat here, son. Right, listen, I'm going to play another one of yours now. This is your final one, right?
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Michael Larvin's fourth track of the evening is Hold Me Tight by Ali Campbell. We'll be back in a minute.
But now I see the light. Everything's gonna be alright.
That was Hold Me Tight, Ali Campbell. That was a fourth choice of Mr. Michael Lattman, drummer with the Scorpions. Mike, why?
Right. So, like I was saying earlier, I'm trying to cram as many influences into these four songs as possible.
You've done a good job.
So earlier, I mentioned the Scatterlights, who was, and with Toots, the Scatterlights drummer is a big influence. Now, this is the other drummer who was another big influence to me, which is Sly Dunbar.
That track there,
the bass and the drums are done by Sly and Robbie.
Sly and Robbie, fantastic. Robbie Shakespeare,
Yeah. Probably one of my favourite tracks done by Sly and Robbie, in terms of drums, is Marianne Faithful, Lola R.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's called, if I get that right, superb drummer on there. Amazing drummer on the snare drum.
Well, it shows you how good they are and what their reputation is, because I think they play with pretty much everybody. You know.
Exactly, yeah. They've done thousands of records.
They played with Rico and the Two Tone Lock.
They play with people you wouldn't even think they've played off, you know.
Oh, completely, yes. You wouldn't expect. Yeah, I agree.
So, Ali,
is although Sly and Robbie are on it, you know, Ali Campbell is he an influence? Is he?
He's quite a hero to me. I mean, even though he's a singer, obviously, and I play the drums.
And he's a bit of a twat, isn't he?
His
family don't like him.
Yeah, that's the sad thing about. I've listened to them all my life, and they seem like a really professional band. But once they split up, all the nastiness came out.
Yeah, it's a bit like the Specials and it was
like watching a bunch of kids running around. You know, it's sad to say, it pains me to say it. You know what I mean? But I suppose these things can't be helped, you know. It's just kind of the way it's gone. So, but yeah, definitely back in the day. I mean, I can't not mention you before it, because you're the band who got us into. I wouldn't be here, you know.
I saw you. I've seen you before a couple of times. The first time I ever saw him was at the City Hall in Newcastle,
right?
And it was the Rat in the Kitchen tour,
right? Yeah.
I'd bought the records before that. I've still got all the stuff upstairs, all the vinyl and the albums and stuff. But I'd never seen him live, so now I went and seen him. I mean, they were fantastic live. Really, really.
They still are. I mean, obviously they're separated now, the two bands.
UB40 featuring Ali and Astro, isn't there? And there's UB40, which is technically the original band still.
Yeah, most of them original band.
Yeah, but although Pearl Duncan, the lead singer there, has had a stroke, hasn't he? So that's buggered them up, hasn't it? Have you heard both? Have you listened to both sides? Have you listened to both music?
Yeah, I do. And
what do you think of the original? Robin Campbell's what do you think of their stuff?
I still like it. I like particularly what Robin does himself. I think he's a great songwriter.
Yeah.
And he's got a fantastic voice. You know, I think that's coming out even. Well, I mean, it came out in the records to start off with, but I think it's coming out even more now.
Yeah.
Songs like The Keeper, that's a great love song. But back in the day when they did UB44, the album, and I only saw this a couple of days ago on YouTube. They do like what we're doing now, like a sort of, but where you can, like a video conference sort of thing.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the album. And the first song off that album, UB44, is quite up to what I do right now, because it's about working. It's called Here I Am.
Yeah.
And it's about working in a car factory, which is I used to do. I used to do before I joined UB40.
Right.
I used to be a toolmaker. Yeah.
Yeah, in the Midlands.
If I caught a line there, working, what is it? Working 10 hours a day under the boss's eyes, making cars I'll never buy. Something it's like great, that.
Well, I mean, this is the thing about music. It's about writing about, one, if you're doing lyrics, it's about writing what you know about, what you've experienced.
Yeah.
And sharing it with others. Because you can guarantee a lot of people can relate to your lyrics. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
And stuff like that. So, and I think, and you know, that's what makes the world go round, isn't it? You know. Yeah. What's your favourite Scapone songs to play?
My favourite Scapone, I was just about to say The Ghost, The Ghost of Me, but I haven't actually physically played that yet.
Not on stage anyway. You will.
Yeah, I look forward to that, yeah, definitely. I would say, it's tricky. I'm trying to debate which song I actually like. Yeah, which one I actually like and which one I actually like to play on the drums.
There's a difference, yeah.
I think, When It's Gone, I think, is probably the one I'd like.
For me, that's a fucking banger, that is.
In terms of the lyrics, when the first line comes in, that's pretty amazing. Who actually wrote that?
That was music and lyrics by Stephen Brown. Stephen Brown on sax, who did the lyrics, and Steve on keys, who did the music.
So it's
Well, I've just heard a new one called My One Man Show by Steve on keys. And it's awesome. And Mark has done some new stuff, which technically he wants to say for a third album, which sounds
right.
There's a lot of talent in this band. And obviously, like I say, you can write your own songs, and we're all at it.
They say good things come to all who wait, but know what you're waiting for until it's too late.
Yeah,
I think that's a great line. It's a great opening line. It's very true, because you've got to know what you're waiting for. Depends what it is you're waiting for. You've got to know it's actually going to be there, or else you're wasting your life away.
Exactly, and that's what the song's about. And that's what the song's about. And as a live song, it's absolutely rip-roaring. I love getting stuck on that. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
in terms of actually playing. The drums, I would say it's got to be
He's on the spot, ladies and gentlemen. He's thinking.
Yeah. Do you know what? I would have to say.
Yeah.
Maybe Rude Boy, Rude Girl. I quite like the groove of that one.
It's got a groove.
It's not a difficult one to play, but the middle bit can be quite tricky sometimes.
I've just heard the first sort of general first ever draft of it with cowbells and timpani, not timpani, steel drums on it, and it sounds bloody awesome. It's a little clip up the other night. I like that one. It's got a groove, like you said. It's a bit different as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, young man, we have run out of time, because I've got a it's time, and you need to go to bed, don't you?
That's actually gone faster than what I thought it might have done, because I've had quite a slow day today, so I was expecting this to...
It doesn't take long. You say about an hour. You're 45 minutes.
Yeah, once you get going,
it goes in a flash.
Probably do another hour there.
We're recording these things. You think it's going to be hard, but once you start yapping, you're going off on different tangents and talking about everything. It soon goes, The good thing about podcasts is you can have it running as long as you want, really. But you don't want more than an hour, because people's attention span is only set to roughly about that for listening.
Yeah.
No. But you've been a man of information, you reggae man, you. Reggae man.
Thank you very much. I've got a good plan. I'm gonna try and get a few weeks off work, and I know exactly how I'm gonna do it. Well, when it comes to Monday, we get our temperature taken. It zaps that thing against your head.
Oh yeah.
It takes your temperature, and it's supposed to be between 36, and I think it can't go any higher than 37.5. So every week I just put more and more coats on in the morning to try and build my body temperature up. See if I can get a few weeks off, you know. It hasn't worked yet.
You know what? I like the cut of your jib. That's a brilliant idea. If I wasn't self-employed, I'd do it myself.
You'd have to fire yourself.
I might just keep saying, I don't feel well. But no, my lad, my oldest boy's had it. He was ill.
Two weeks.
So he's coming through it, which is great, because he's also in a high-risk health category.
Yeah.
He's type 1 diabetes, but... Anyway, we digress. But it's been wonderful talking to you, young man. And I love your enthusiasm. I love the way you drum.
Yeah.
Keep it up.
Thank you very much.
You're going to have plenty of time in the next lockdown 2020. but we'll keep you busy. We'll keep you busy. So, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together, please, for Michael Langman.
Thank you very much.
That's me clapping, by the way. That's a clapping. That's it. That's a good clapping. Right. Right. Cheers, mate. And
all right,
I'll see you soon.
Right. Thanks very much. All right.
All right, now.
Bye. Catch you later, man. Bye.
Bye.
We're getting you down. The news depressing you. Get a load of the Scapone Sound Off podcast now.